Nani, and good morning, Abshed, in Kuyamona. Ibizolaka. Gimakoti, Smogile, Kaola. Thank you.
Dumelang, my name is Grace Tegi. I'm the member of the committee.
Morning, everybody. My name is Lokole Chumache, again, member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Marvin Gav, member of this committee. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Mbulelo Konzo, member of this committee. Thank you.
Terry Sander, member of the committee.
Good morning all. I'm Denise Robinson, also a long-serving member of this committee. Look forward to hearing what you're going to tell us.
Good morning. I'm Crystal Devendale, for the assistant of the committee.
Morning, maybe Sono Matana, committee secretary.
I'm Tomo Kwanamkaluva, chairperson of the Sarah Rice Commission. One of you all with me is the Valerie Manager from the chairperson's office.
Good morning, my name is Yoyo Solando from Communications Unit in Parliament.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Makubwe Griffiths. I'm the PMO for the Auditor General. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Anika Tufin, Assistant for the Committee.
Good morning, I'm Unomia Zonkala from OISP.
Good morning, Kalibiso Kilise Fostole from OSD.
Good morning, I'm Jan Kreider from Houston 4.
From
Houston 4.
Good morning, my name is Nashich here. I'm from PMG.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Chair. Thanks a lot to the members and to everybody else. We are very glad that you've invited us at this time, this point in time in our country, where we're struggling with many issues, particularly around sexual abuse and the kind of violations that are happening within the religious sector. Especially in churches, not that it's not happening in other areas. I'll try and go through what we discovered at some point as well during our investigation into the religious sector and what we came up with. We discovered first and foremost that the mushrooming of independent and charismatic churches in the country, but both South African religious practitioners who are starting churches and also foreign religious practitioners. But we also discovered that there's a lack of effective regulations of the religious sector profession as a profession. There are many other professions like doctors and lawyers, etc., but they are regulated. And this is basically maybe the only sector that is not regulated at all. That does not have an umbrella body where you report irregularities, where if there's something wrong that is happening, that you can go to that umbrella or whatever organization and report, like the Health Professional Council or the Law Society, etc. There's this issue of the religious sector accounts to no one. People do join, for instance, the South African Council of Churches, but it's a voluntary organization and cannot discipline members. And, you know, if it gets too uncomfortable, people can always opt out of the existing umbrella organizations. There were reports of some other umbrella organizations that when they try and put religious leaders who have done something wrong, call them to order, they simply resign their membership and say, I'm no longer your member, so you can't discipline me and you can't call me to a meeting, I'm not coming, I don't need to come to your meeting anymore. We discovered this syndrome, which we call the big man syndrome, that in this particular new churches, there's this one big man, sadly led by a woman for some reason, who runs the whole church, who is responsible for the church. Everybody literally bows when they come in. Literally. They're on their knees, they're on their chest, on the floor, and everyone is like, you know, looking quite high up there to the men of God in the room. And we found that although they are board members where they are boards, but those boards are totally dysfunctional because they are also in awe of this man who runs the church and cannot call him to order and cannot do anything. Basically, he's the finance director, he's the human rights director, he's everything else in that church. We found also that there's a gender dynamic in these churches. There are men who attend these new churches especially, but they are all high up. The people who are at the bottom of the rung are mainly women who are at the bottom of the rung, who just do menial work, but the people with some power and, you know, they've got power or access to power of the big men. It's mainly men. Women tend to be at the bottom here. But we also realize that there's this thing which is called the supermarket approach in places of worship. There's the commercialization of religion in terms of selling of faith products. We found that there's a huge market. Fortunately, we are asked to look at it and they are currently looking at it. That there's this issue of, you know, people sell water, they sell candles, they sell salt, they sell everything as healing products. We're talking to Advertising Standards Authority. Unfortunately, they shut down about a month or so ago. They were already investigating the selling of products, especially on television. Because these churches have channels on television that people watch, like Soweto TV, Cloud TV, KZN1. And that's where most of the selling happens. And that's where the promotion of products happens. And that's where you find that even older persons give up their grants to go and buy these products that have not followed the Advertising Standards Authority rules. So we're quite sad that, you know, the ASA closed when they were about to finalize this report for us. We're taking a few programs from television where we're saying, look at this thing, because this is an advert for a product. An advert for a product must be in line with Advertising Standards of the country. We've also been looking at the issue of bylaws. We looked at issues of bylaws and how bylaws are being flouted by these churches. Because when you decide that you're turning a building into a church and you're going to have so many thousands of people in one space, and in some buildings you find that on the first floor is a church, on the second floor, third floor, and the exit, should there be fire or something, has not been thought through. Then should there be a problem in the building, how are people going to exit? Especially in inner cities like Joburg and Durban, you find a lot of those churches that are in old buildings. Some of them are in parking lots that used to be parking lots that are no longer being used now. And the bylaws in terms of simple things like fire, hydrants and those types of things are not there. So we're now asking municipalities to make sure that they enforce those laws, bylaws, so that at least if there is an accident or something happens, people do not die unnecessarily. So that you don't wait until that death, then we start looking at that. We also found that there's the issue of unemployment, inequality and poverty. That also creates the need for people to go to these new churches. The new churches are mainly around the prosperity gospel. They promise you, you know, you're going to get a job, you're going to get rich, you'll win the lottery, you know, all sorts of other things that can be very tempting when you are desperate. That can make you look gullible, but your gullibility is based on you are in this particular state and you're ready and willing to believe anything that might take you out of where you are. When in terms of the economic status in the country, that on its own creates a crisis, because when your child has got a degree, is unemployed, you don't understand why. You know, the normal thing is that you study, you work hard, and then you get a job and you move on with life. When that system collapses, then you look for answers somewhere. If the system can't tell you why my child is not working, and it can't tell the child why he or she is not working, you have to find an answer somewhere. And of course, these pastors are always so-called, you know, religious practitioners, are always willing to give you answers. If you do this, this will happen. God is saying this. God told me that you must do this, and then you'll be fine. So it becomes the narrative of God said, which a lot of pastors are fighting us on these days, because we've realized that what to say to people, you know, last night God said to me about you. God told me last night that if you sleep with me, you will be fine. And of course, if it's from God, you know, he's a man of God. He talks to God and God talks to him. And, you know, who will not disbelieve that? So we've been saying there's a challenge around God told me this. Because the minute we accept that narrative that God speaks to people, then the others exploit that space. And if I say God told me, and suddenly I call myself Bishop Togo Mkwana Skaluva, and I come and tell a congregant, you know, last night God said to me, or just this morning as I was taking a bath, God told me that I must tell you this. All your problems will be over, but you need to do this and this and that. And we found that is where the majority and the bulk of exploitation starts. There's the commercial exploitation of people, the spiritual, emotional, sexual exploitation of people is not happening outside the framework of God will do this to you. I'm sure if you've been following the Omototo case, the allegations are that if you do tell, God will kill you and your family. And of course, they're in a religious environment, and this is the big man here. And you know, when he walks, everybody bows down, and God is like talking to him every 10 minutes in his life. And we've discovered that that's at the core of everything. And once, if you can remove that understanding that God talks to people, sometimes I ask this, you know, Pastor, are you on the same WhatsApp group as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Do they call you every day and send you messages? Or how is this thing supposed to work? Because once they create that environment of God talks to me about everything, then the rest is very easy. Then your reasoning stops. Then, you know, even when people say you should have known better, you can't know better because the environment has been allowed to grow and you now believe everything that you are told. But the issue of patriarchy is still there. Although we find that in the Catholic Church, mainly boys who have been sexually violated, even in some of the religious sectors here in South Africa, there's been a lot of sexual violation of boys and young men. It's just that they're more reluctant to come forward than, you know, when you talk to girls that were in a period of time, they do agree to come forward, but boys are more difficult to report such things. So it's very as if it's not happening in other circles, it's only in the Roman Catholic Church, but it's happening in other areas. It's just that boys find it more difficult to take it to the criminal justice system. We also found that there are serious challenges. Part of it is the mind manipulation and indoctrination of congregants, especially women. We found that when things are not working properly, it's the woman in the house who looks for answers. If you look at the statistics, there's a high number of women-headed households. So if there's a problem in the house, the mother should find answers usually. So as the mother is looking for answers and trying to improve the lives of people in the household, then she finds herself in this situation also of being in a religious environment that promises her this and this and that. You find that even young girls, there's always something that pulls them to the church. Some of which you find that maybe the church has a very vibrant youth program. And of course, they join the church because of the youth program. It's just that then they get into this horrible environment. If you look at the allegations in the Omotoso church, it was mainly music. Most of the young girls who ended up living in that house, they went there to be musicians. And of course, music was there, but the whole range of other things were there. But as the case moves on, you realize that the music that was there was not taking them forward. The music that was there was keeping them where they were so that they don't grow too big to live. So that they remain small for the rest of their lives. And if you look at how this mind manipulation works, it's at a level where your life is destroyed, your professional life is destroyed, everything around you is destroyed, and you remain in this state of dependence for a very long time. Some of them will realize that they give evidence that they have gone verified their music career, but they were told to leave that. God is saying that's not what God wants to do. Don't sign up with that big musician. Don't sing with that one big musician, like, you know, very big musicians. Leave that. God said to me that's not what you should be doing. So you find that then you remain in this state of being dependent eternally. And then, of course, the threat of death if you fail to submit to the religious leader's instructions. God will kill you and your family. All your family is going to die. God has told you this, that if you keep on with this thing of you refusing to comply here, you're going to die and your family is going to die. When you're not in that environment, you might think, yeah, well, how could you believe this? But you're already in a particular state of mind. You've already been brought into a state of mind of fear, or of reverence, or of belief in this one individual. And of course, you're ready to swallow up everything that you're given, and a threat of you'll die and your family will die. It's much more of a reality than a man with a gun in your house in the middle of the night. This one seems like, yeah, this is much more possible than a normal burglar threatening to kill you. This one is a more guaranteed threat. There's also the issue of economic abuse, which we just discovered. There's immense economic abuse. You set up a church today and in a year or two you are a multi-millionaire and everybody else is poor. Somehow this magic is working throughout the country. Lots of religious leaders have tried bigger cars and, you know, within a year they've got bigger houses, they've got jets, they've got things. Yes, so they make more money than normal people would. They become millionaires faster than other business people. So this business is a very lucrative business. And that is what we found very difficult. Because when you're fighting people with money, it's always very difficult to win. Because you're going into a multi-billion rand industry per annum. And it's hard to change the system. Because people who are driving it are benefiting from it. And they're not going to easily let go of this immense wealth that they are making. The issue of sexually violated victims who are perpetually threatened by some religious leaders is a reality that I think South Africa is looking at now differently. I've always said if people could know 5% of what we know is the CRS, they would really want to change the way churches are operating. If you look at how hard it's been, which I think should be worrying this committee, if you're looking at what is happening in court, in the High Court, in PE, and how aggressive the defense attorney is, and what kinds of questions are being asked there, it's a very traumatic experience, even as you sit there, you know, this young woman is going through trauma. For a 22-year-old to go through so much trauma is a very difficult thing. So, partly, we've won the battle in the sense that at least the whole nation knows now what happens in these cases. At least everybody in their homes can sit and watch. And I don't think it's been taken to this level at any given stage. I always say God has his own ways of doing things. People never thought, if you, at least now we even have social media, which we didn't have in the olden days. But if you monitor what is happening, the nation is in shock. The nation is appalled that such a thing could have happened, even just how the court system is running. It's just an appalling system that might work, or depending on what happens today at whatever time, at 11 today, whether the judge will recuse himself or not, and what the defense will decide to do. It's also an issue that will determine how the other girls. Right now, there are about 40 odd girls who are making these allegations, and the numbers are growing by the hour. Because when they saw one coming up and telling the story, then became possible to say, okay, he's an ordinary man after all, she's still alive. She's not dead. She has told all of these things and made all the allegations, but she's still alive. You see, so it brings us to the next issue of how do you keep these girls alive? This is the most dangerous business. I always say to people, if you deal with drug lords, at least they don't have as much money and as many supporters as the religious leaders. If a drug lord goes to court, you don't see people outside singing. You try the drug lord in peace. If there are no threats outside that you have to come in through the back door and go underground and go up. No one supports the drug lord overtly. But with the religious leaders, no matter what the accusations are, you are faced with a barrage of religious congregants who are there to support this particular man. I've experienced it personally, just taking one religious leader for a protection order. It became a show. Just to get a protection order, not to accuse him of rape or anything as drastic as all that. But I had to go through thousands of people who are singing and calling me names. It would never happen in other circles. But the religious sector has a very strange thing happening there, that no matter what the accusations are, the support is always there. And the support is always aggressive. I think also the nation is seeing for the first time that you can accuse people of serious crime and their congregants will stand by them. Which is a very difficult thing. You know, when a drug lord and gangs go to court, you don't see other gang members standing by them, singing and dancing, saying, release our leader. Everyone is hiding at that point. If they're in court, they behave like they don't know this one. But in this sector, people stand up. And you find that it's mainly women who are out there. With a few men supervising them, they're singing the whole day. Yeah, if they're singing, dies down, they encourage them to sing even more. And you see, you're dealing with a thing of several layers of abuse. You've got the victim inside, you've got the other people I call victims as well, who are busy singing and insulting people, someone outside now, and supporting the one inside. And you see, that on its own makes the sector very difficult. Because it then says, no, you can't touch this sector because the people are objecting. If you go with that theory, it means don't touch this religious practitioner because their people are objecting. So you need to walk the tough road and take tough decisions and do what needs to be done because this can't continue. And I think the whole nation, with just one 22-year-old, has realized there's a huge problem here and it needs to be attended to. And by the time you get to number 10 and number 30 and number 60, we'll all be crying the whole day and we'll decide to switch off our TVs and say this is too traumatic. And I'm hoping by the time we get there, we would have found answers as to how to deal with this phenomenon that we're seeing rising in our country. And we need to be conscious of the fact that in the continent, a lot of countries are clamping down. In Rwanda, 6,000 churches were shut down in one day. Angola is up, tightening the system. Botswana is tightening the system some time ago. A lot of countries are saying, before we get to the state, South Africa is in. Let's deal with this matter. Some religious leaders are trapped in other countries and they come in. And they open up here because it's easy to do it here. And of course, they've got lots of people with lots of money who are going to be willing to part with their money. Then you find that you are now becoming a market of people who want to harm our people. as if we don't tighten up the system ourselves. So as they get chucked out of Rwanda, they'll come here. As they get chucked out of Busan, they'll come here. Every time the system tightens somewhere, they go to where they're soft landing. We also realize what happened with the seven ancients. I always say the lesson there is not the fact that they went to the police station and killed the police. The lesson there is what they were doing before they killed the police. If we accept what they were doing before they killed the police, then this country is going somewhere. If people are going to be convinced to take their worldly possessions, take their pensions, cash them, hand over suitcases of money to people who call themselves angels, and have nothing, and live there and wait for Jesus Christ. It's not the first time the world has seen this happening. It happens in many countries, but is that what we want in this country? Because this, once people control other people, you have a problem. Once someone can tell you, God said this to me, and people do that, very soon people will say, God said go kill that one. God said go bomb that building. God said go do this. We have a security. It's a national security problem. It's not like just a problem about it's a church that's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Yeah. It's a matter of how far can this control of people's minds go. You don't want people to control other people. You want people to have their own agency to control themselves, and not be controlled by someone who says God talks to him every 5 minutes. Because once you do that, and once you accept that as a fact, that God talks to people, then people will be controlled, non-stop, and people will do what they are being asked to do, and will have a problem. It was the same with the seven angels, and they are not the only people. It's just that others don't pretend like they are from heaven. They don't say they are from heaven and they are angels who just landed here from heaven. Others still call themselves pastors, but they ask people to bring their worldly goods to them. So, you know, when people say, God said, come and live here, and let's wait for God to come, you don't need to work with kids, you don't need to go to school, we're waiting for Jesus to come. Then there's another story growing there that is problematic. We have looked at the system in all its, you know, positives and negatives. While aware that there are those missionary churches, traditional churches like your Methodists, your Catholics, your whatever, but we've discovered that when sexual abuse is concerned, even there they are found wanting. Because there's always this thing of shifting people around. You cause a disaster here, then you transfer somewhere else. We are saying, if we're going to protect congregants, that system needs to be looked into as well. So it's not only charismatic churches that are problematic. Everything needs to be monitored. Every profession is monetized. Because the problem is not the church. The problem is the individual. The problem is not in the Bible. The problem is in the human being with evil thoughts who then abuses the system. So how do you protect people from individuals? Because people will say there are enough laws in this country. I've said, tell them to share a report that she suffered for 4 years of her young life. How could she go to any police station if in her head she believed that she was going to die? What's the point of going to the police station if tomorrow you'll be dead and your parents will be dead and everyone will be dead? So the system doesn't work. I've asked most of these girls and their parents, their mothers, for some reason, he chose those that were not very close to their father, preying on these young girls who do not have a father figure, and then you are dead, Most of these religious leaders are called devis. It's not by coincidence. Because you don't have your own devi. If you have your own devi, it's very hard to call somebody else devi. Now it's devi 2 and devi 1. It's not very easy. But if you look for those whose fathers are not quite present, then it's easy to do whatever here. And you've asked them, if you had another place you could go to and report this man, and you thought it was safe enough, without fail, they say they would have gone there because religious leaders, they would have been able to pray for them, for God not to harm them. You can only get protection from a religious setting. You won't get protection at the police station because God will be more angry with you for going to the police station. It's only when there's a committee of other religious leaders who then pray with you and then be able to tell you that that man is telling you rubbish, God is not like that, and be able to help you go through the criminal justice system. But if you say, no, there are enough laws, they must just go to the police station, it's because you don't understand trauma. You don't understand fear. You don't understand threats. You are leaving the victim to be blamed. There are enough laws, so why didn't you use those laws? So it's again your problem. You suffered all those years because you were too stupid to use existing law. So it's another victim blaming. So you go through this man sexually violating you, you go through the court system violating you, and then you go through the other church people who say, oh, so why didn't you do this from the very beginning? You could have saved yourself all this grief, all this year. All you needed to do was to go to the police station and say, it's working for you now. You can't abuse these young people even further after everything they've suffered, and then portray them as it's your fault. You should have known better. Why didn't you make the system work for you? We need to find a mechanism where there is a space they can go to that they feel safe, that their parents will feel safe to go to, and some of them, of course, were above 18. When their parents went there to say, well, she's 18 and a half, the police would say, well, she's an adult now, she can choose what to do. And as a parent, you know, my child is in trouble. When you become a child, your whole life, you know, you're still a child to your parents even at my age. But you see, the parents couldn't do anything because the criminal justice couldn't do anything until the victim starts talking, and it takes a lot, and it takes a long time before they get there. So how do we prevent such disasters from happening as a nation? Our proposals are that you need a peer review mechanism. You need other religious leaders who are senior, who can sit around the table and say, Honorable Pastor, praying people with doom is not in the Bible. Feeding people dog meat and say it's part of a church environment, it's part of their religious experience, is not that. Since it's not a criminal thing to do that, so you need a religious group of people who will be able to do this. And that's all that we propose, that there must be a peer review mechanism. And the sooner we put this peer review mechanism into the system, the better. But the peer review mechanism and the code of conduct need enforcement. And enforcement can only come from this building and nowhere else. It's only this building that can enforce a particular code of conduct. And it's only this building that can say, we'll give you a license to operate. And if you misbehave, that license must be taken away from you and you can go find another career somewhere else. But if your peers say you're not fit for this, then you're not fit for it. It happens with lawyers, it happens with doctors, with social workers, with teachers, with everybody else. And all we're asking is that once the peers have prayed with you, have fasted and have done everything, and you can't be saved as a religious practitioner, then it's time to look for something somewhere. And you find that also being a religious practitioner, there's no vetting. You could be out from jail last week, and this week you were in there as a pedophile. This week you're opening up a church. You move to another area, you open up a church, and you love Sunday school. And the parents are so impressed with you. Hey, this pastor really loves children. And you send your children even when they say, no, I don't want to go to Sunday school. You force them to go to Sunday school. And you don't know what's happening. And who's protecting you and your children from all of that? No one. Nothing. Anyone can start up a church called Freedom of Religion. I don't think people who wrote the Constitution thought Freedom of Religion would go this far. Because there can't be freedom with no responsibilities, with no limits. And this is the time to draw the line and say, enough now. This is like getting out of hand. Let your peers deal with you. And I'm very strong in saying it's not the state that should deal with them. It's their other peers. Because we believe there are more good religious practitioners than bad ones. In a ratio of maybe 98% to 2%. So the other 98 needs to stand up and call the other few to order. And the minute a few are deleted from the hall and told you can't work here anymore, the more even the others will start thinking differently. But while the system is a free-for-all as it is, you can do anything anytime, you can set up a church anywhere, anytime, anyhow, you can call yourself any title you wish. You don't even need to have too much training in this thing. This is a profession that is a free-for-all. No one trains you about anything, no one is there to guide you, you're guiding yourself and you say, you know, God decided that I should be here. We think and we hope what is happening in PE at the High Court is going to wake us all up and decide enough is enough. We also feel that an urgent need for public education and an awareness campaign, several campaigns, where we conscientize our people. And we tell them, when someone tells you they speak to God every day, every hour, every minute, you must know there's a problem. There's a problem with the person who says he speaks to God every day. Either he needs psychiatric assistance, or he's deceiving you 100%. There's nothing called speak to God every day. Even if you look at the Bible, it's not as if Moses was talking to God every day, every minute. Yesterday he told me God told you this. This afternoon God told you something else. And the next afternoon he's telling you something else. We need to make our people aware so that they become more skeptical. The only thing that's going to save millions of this people of this country is skepticism. Then you start going to the Bible and reading yourself the Bible and finding out, yeah, this doesn't sound like, yeah, this man I know. It can't be. That doubt in their minds will help them. When you watch television and you see they're talking about, there's a program about this, and they're talking about the exact thing that's happening to me in my church, that's when you realize, okay, maybe, yeah, maybe he's not right. That doubt will help. We need to create doubt in people's minds. Not about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but about the individual. Because there's a huge difference between the individual who decided on a particular profession and career and the religion. Be it Islam, be it Judaism, be it any religion, Rastafari, and any even African religion. God is God everywhere. But once people abuse that system, we're all in trouble. So we're planning on a public awareness campaign who are talking to the National Lottery Commission for possible funding for the public awareness campaign, which we're hoping will take the country to another level in terms of making our people conscious and aware.
Mm.
And we're hoping Parliament especially will help us as we move forward in trying to make things better in this country. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson of the Commission, for your presentation. I've been following quite a lot your interactions with religious leaders, especially with Pastor Mboro. That's why I was smiling when you were raising some of these issues. But there's two issues I'm to just deal with. It is the regulation of the religious sector and the peer review mechanism. Those are two issues I'm to deal with. At one stage, the Commission the Commission was proposing self-regulation. So proposing the issue of self-regulation. And I, at that point of time, I was supporting it, the self-regulation. I was one of the people that was supporting it. Yes, we should not have government interfere in the religious sector. They must regulate themselves. But it seems like they will never be able to regulate themselves. And I'll tell you why. They will never regulate themselves, be able to regulate themselves. My position has shifted currently. I say, no. We can't allow them to self-regulate themselves. Government has to step in to regulate the sector. Because they have failed to regulate themselves. You know, you find the religious leaders in this country here. They went onto the streets of this country in mass protest against corruption in government, against state capture. Religious leaders were in the forefront of those demonstrations.
Mm.
But religious leaders have failed. They failed to go onto the streets to demonstrate that against the worst corruption, fraud, sexual harassment that are happening in the church.
Yeah.
The church in South Africa has totally been captured.
Mm-hmm.
And these religious leaders in this country have failed South Africa. They have totally failed us. So therefore we cannot allow them to go and regulate themselves where they have failed us. This sector is extremely corrupt. It is sexual corruption, it's fraud, everything is happening in the sector. And they have failed. You can see what's happening on TV, the Omoso standing trial, but you do not find any of them on the street. Why is the religious leaders of this country not on the streets in mass mobilization against what's happening? Because the church has been captured in the country, and they are not on the streets. For that reason, I believe that the state has to intervene and regulate the sector. On the issue of the peer review, that one I also have a problem with the peer review system, but I'll tell you why I have a problem with it. The church mostly operates on forgiveness, and also operate in this spiritual realm, and they're also on forgiveness, mostly on forgiveness they operate. And I have seen this already in many churches. I've seen it many times when the pastor is having an affair with the married pastor having an affair with somebody in the church,
mm-hmm.
then other pastors will come in to intervene, and they will give him a period of 2 months or 3 months to sit in the back of the church. That is the sanction that they are giving. So they operate on the whole concept of forgiveness. So when a man of God, pastor, does wrong in the church, there will not be drastic action that will be taken to remove him from office. Like if we as politicians are found to be corrupt, we do corruption, we get removed from office. In their case, it will not happen because of the whole forgiveness thing. Even if the pastor has misuse of the congregation's money, he will not be removed for that fraud and corruption because of the system of forgiveness. So the peer review mechanism will do the good, something good, but it also has this downside of it because of the issue of operating on forgiveness. So I think there must be something much more than a peer review, and not just a peer review of pastors, because there will be a lot of forgiveness that will come in there because of the system of forgiveness. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and I just want you to bear with me, and what I'm going to say is going to sound a bit harsh, but there are some issues that I really feel need to be tackled. Now, as the CRL Rights Commission, you're talking about we need to embark on an education and awareness campaign. We need to. But just like an abused woman, you don't need to wait for a woman with a beaten face to go and report at a police station to know that we have been required to implement interventions to protect women. The religious manipulation of people is not new, and I believe that this has been known to the CRL Rights Commission, and I have seen you, I can't remember how many years back, conducting a hearing with another doomsayer. So you have been aware. Why are we talking about education and awareness and outreach now? Why not in the last 10 years? And in terms of your mandate, there is section 4.1.1 of the CRL Rights Commission Act, and it requires you to conduct a legislative intervention where you find an opportunity or a need to do so. And I disagree with a peer review, and I disagree with a panel of a couple of senior religious leaders sitting around a table. The requirements in terms of 4.1.1 is that you conduct public seminars and hearings, as with any public participation process. And then if it falls on you, you can't say this house must do the intervention. This house must pass. It is your responsibility to make commission to prepare recommendations and submit that to the relevant departments. And if the departments ignore you, you have the power to invoke Section 7 of the CRL Rights Commission Act. So that is your power, that is your role, that is your mandate as a Chapter 9 organization. And the fact is that we know this is mental, physical, emotional abuse. That is what this is. And whether it is regulated or not, there is evidence that there has been criminal or other breaches, and certainly of our constitution, which is supreme. Our constitution is supreme to any religious or traditional act or practice. Anything, whether it's Muslim or Christianity, yes, you have the freedom to associate and believe and practice anything you want within the confines of the South African constitution. And so what I would like to do, I know that there was an issue with the traditional healers and a little bit of an agreement that was come to, and there was the Traditional Healers Act 22 of 2007. And so what I think is required here is a Religious Practitioners Act where there is a council, and any religion, free. Any religion, whether it's one person and one congregant or 20 people with 1,000 followers, whatever it is, but that needs to be compulsory. Compulsory registration with a council, which then has a regulatory framework. Not banning a particular practice or saying Jesus didn't die or he did die. or Muslim is more important than Islam. But basically weeding out any harmful practices. I mean, because as much as there's religious freedom, the Constitution demands everyone is safe. And anything that could harm the safety of an individual needs to be specified as far as possible. And then there needs to be provision for a complaints and investigation procedure. This is a little bit difficult because, like you mentioned earlier, when you are brainwashed and manipulated and you are live in fear for your life and that of your family, you don't report it. Which is why I think the education and awareness is long overdue. Because even if there is a place, and this council is a mechanism for reporting and investigating, how are the people going to know that that is done? So that is my my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you from the Commission for the presentation, and I must really commend or applaud, if I can use the right word, the strength and the courage of our Commissioner for forging ahead and continuing with this Commission, because I know very well when it started there were a lot of threats. A lot of religious leaders did not want to be interviewed. There was just so much. But thank you very much that you are still continuing and in this commission, because it was not for your strength and your courage, other people would have long decided, no, I cannot go on because there were a lot of threats when you started this. So thank you very much. We applaud you for that. Chairperson, as a country, especially Parliament, especially this committee and government, government is expected to protect its citizens. And so I think it is a matter of urgency that we need to come up with laws protecting the mushrooming of churches. There should be proper formalities when a church is going to be erected. And that is where municipality should also come in. A municipality should right now start doing a checking of all the streets within their area and find out if each church where it is erected, was it demarcated for being a church? Because you will find in one street 10 houses, a house, a house, a house is a church. Mm-hmm. If those churches were not demarcated to be churches, they should close as a matter of evidence. Because if I remember very well, when a community is started and there's proper infrastructure that is done, and then so many houses that are going to be here, and then an area will be allocated for a school, an area will be allocated for a church, an area will be allocated for a clinic. But now these churches are just mushrooming all over. Despite the fact that the Commissioner mentioned that the safety measures that should take place, those churches that's opening from halls and from the houses that are being rented, they must be closed because they were never demarcated for churches. I think it's a matter of agency that municipality should do. That does not need any bylaw because they know very well it was there from the construction of those houses to be for residential purposes. And thirdly, I think the revenue collection, some should come in, should also help because churches now are exchanging money. And if I know very well, whenever there's going to be an exchange of money, there has to be some receipts. There has to be some measures. It's no longer the 2 cents and 10 cents that were just small collections, but now it's big money. So churches, if they are going to collect such big money, SARS should really make sure that she intervenes. Other than that, they should not be allowed to exchange any money, and they strictly be on religious purposes. If people want to donate money, they must do it outside of church. Because poor people who have nothing are being abused and exploited, because they are, as the commissioner was saying, you are looking for a job for your child, and then you go to church hoping to get some help. And then the little bit of money that you've got, you put it into church. And yet there's no guarantee that your child will get a job or whatever. So there's a lot of abuse and exploitation of our poor people, especially the elderly people. Those who are earning a grant from government, they put their money on those churches, and yet that money was meant for them to take care of their health. And last the chairperson, without talking too much. As the campaign is going to take place, hopefully within the commission, I would also advise that as you do your campaigns, involve teachers and school children within each community. If children are taught and understand the wrong things that are taking place within churches, they are the ones that are going to educate their mothers at home. So I think it is important that you look into schools when you do such campaigns, as well as a regulation of these churches. There has to be a way of differentiating from whether this is a cult or this is a church, and this is where there has to be an application of each and every church that has to be erected or to take place. For instance, chairperson, there is no way in a community of a thousand people or residents you are going to have over 100 churches. This kind of control has to take place, because if there are already two churches in an area, then those who apply or have come late, they should not be given a license to open a church, because you cannot have more than so many churches within an area of so many people that are staying there. Thank you very much.
The next one.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, Jefferson, and let me also appreciate the presentation by the chairperson of the CRA, Metro Gold Corners, and also acknowledging and appreciating the work that you are doing. I think you are one of the strongest and bravest women in this country. She is a fighter in her own right. Not in the EFF, not in your own definition of the EFF, in your own right. And we appreciate that. We have seen you when you are doing the public hearings. These are multi-billionaires, pastors. So they look at you and see the one of the youngest, institution in the country, and surely they know that they will deal with it. So we want to appreciate that, madam. And I think as a committee, we also affirm the powers that are given to you by the Constitution and your act this year, I'll act in making sure that these people account to us and their consequence management. Secondly, I think my colleagues have covered me in terms of the regulation, to say how agent can we deal with that matter. Are you getting support from the Department of Art and Culture? Because I think you are accountable to, you are accounting directly to them. Was that COFDA?
COFDA.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it's Art and Culture.
No.
Oh, it's COFDA.
Yes.
Yeah, there are too many things there in COFDA, so I'm not quite sure whether you are giving that attention or space to present yourself. Yes, there are competing needs in that department. Yeah? So are you getting support from others? Nevertheless, are you getting support from the department? How is your budget? Because I've not went through your strategic plan or your APP vis-a-vis the structure of your institution. Do we have capacity or requisite skills to deal with these challenges? Because they're broad. You know, every day in, day out, there are more things that are emerging in the country. Have you ever considered the debate on the role of foreign nationals in our country, which is one of the important matters that South Africa is dealing with? What is your relationship with other Chapter 9 institutions? Your Commission for Gender Equality, your Human Rights Commission, your Public Protector, and the rest. Have you ever met your South African Council of Churches with regard to dealing with issues on the before you? Lastly, Chair, I agree with you that some South Africans, believe in miracles, of eating grass that they will be healed, drinking petrol and eating snakes that they will be cleansed, And yes, we agree that unemployment in the country is very high. That one is a common cause. But, when that Nigerian church collapsed in those years, most of the people who were there were South Africans. And you ask yourself that from here to Nigeria, how much have they paid just for transport? Besides buying your dons, vaselines and everything, the products that are selling there, accommodation and, donating or giving that 10% of their salaries or whatever percent they agree with to their pastors, how much have they spent to go there? So we believe in miracles that, will not assist in us. My colleague says, what is your support? How is the support from the Department of Justice, if there's any? I think those are my questions. Thanks.
Ngibonge sihlalo. Ikakhulu nje nami ngizogcwalisela emazwini abahlonishwa esinabo la. Ngikubona ngenye indlela ukuthi wenza le nto ekuthiwa ubizo. Nothi le nto ukuthi uyasebenza or ubheka inkokhelo. Lilonke ngingalibeka ngithi sidinga abantu abanjengawe. Ongezi ukusabisa, satshiswa, ongezi ukuba nefiye ngabantu bakubo. Ngiyabonga, futhi ngisaphinda, sizocela iy'nyanyana zakithi zigade. Ngeke bakwenze lutho. Ngingene edabeni. Into ebengizoyicela nje yileyo ukuthi sihlalo sami. La masonto ngendlela enza ngayo maningi asesabalele izini emphakathini nasemakhaya nasemalokishini. Kuyafanele sengathi singaye emphakathini sihlalo wami sambe ke senze nje ama mass meeting siqashise abantu ngala masonto ngoba emakhaya nangakithi komaphumulangeni sile la masonto agcina seqhatha imindeni. Imindeni ayixova iqeda ngoba asiyalami nangigcina amasiko. Wona la masonto azongena ngaseyinganeni ayitshele ingane iyagcina isizokwenza mina la sigcina sasezwane sebefaka ney'tikha zabo nalezo y'tikha ey'thengwayo.
Okunye la
bona secishe la. Okunye kunemfundiso ze eyangena kubantu bakithi abagcina sebengasakwazi ukuyibheka ukuthi le nto le ngabe isahamba ngakho yini na. Uyabona, excuse me, ukufika kwenkolo thina bantu abamnyama kusifike bekabeni sengishaya impahla kaZuma sesengithakathile-ke nabantu le nkolo itheme ifika thina sizwe simnyama sasatshiswa sazotshelwa izinto obonayo ukuthi lezi zinto lezi uma ubheka manje akuseyizo lezi ekufanele ngabe sikhula ngazo. So nathi futhi sashiya lokwethu sakunamathela kizona, kanti lezo zinto ziyozosifaka egibeni because thina abantu abamnyama i-most yethu siyahlupheka. Inkolelo sazi ukuthi umfundisi yena yena noma lophethe iBhayibheli. Iningi lento ayangithakathi Zuma. Iningi lento le iyenzeka. Siyibona manje na nje isifika nalaba bantu so okay, bengisho ugogo wami. Okay, okunye lana sihlalo sami, ugogo wami lowo. Kunodaba olunzima lana. Khona la ngeke ngathi masikhuluma ngayo ngathi thina abantu besifazane sinaye lo muntu abantu ama-right age. Kodwa abantu besilisa, mina ngishiso ukuthi ngumama ngivele intombazana ngivele umuntu wesilisa. Nabantu besilisa bayahlukumezeka. Manje ngenxa yokuthi umuntu wesilisa ake anayo indawo la ukuthi mayoreporta khona ukuhlukumezeka kwakhe athatheke serious. Ngabe ushawa umuntu wesifazane ekhaya akakwazi ukuripota. Ngabe uyadlwengula la ekhaya nabo bayadlwengulwa. Kunodaba nje lunzima belungikhalisa lo muntu owadlwengulwa esesontweni lamaRoma. Vele nakhona emaRomeni ikhona leya nto yokureshwa, kodwa manje ngenxa yokuthi ingane le nto yakho isho ukuthi umntwana thina siyabaphusha ukuthi akaye esontweni noma umntwana umbone ukuthi akasafuni, awufuni ukubheka ukulandela ukuthi yini eyenza ukuthi lengane ithi ayisafuni ukuya esontweni. Wena okwakho lokuthi hambe esontweni mhlawumbe uzogcinisa ukuthi la igcekeni la alikudingi wena ngoba ufuna ukukulalela kuye esontweni Sunday school yabo. Ezinye zezinto kuyimanjena nje lolo daba kwenza uphenyo ngalo uyalandelwa lo mlungu lo mpasta uphesheya. Okunye ebengithi mina ngizocela sikwenze la ile nto yamasonto othola ukuthi aphakathi emalokishini ey'ndaweni zabantu. Lawa masonto agcina esenenkinga yokuthi asikwazi ngisho nathi ukulala ebusuku. Le nto isho ukuthi okwami ukuthandaza lokho ongathandaza nje suke lekuseni lokuthandazile wena ungavuma ingane yakho ube usajululele iyakumemeza ma uthe ufuna isinkwa ma ufuna isinkwa. Ayibona loo nto uyayibona nje la nto ukuthi inobugebengu phakathi ayisenaso le nto yesithunzi noma thina esikhule ngathi ikona. Ile nto kuyama-ATM ilokhuzana esontweni lama-ATM emasontweni abona nje bona kusho ukuthi banekomiti labo elihlalayo libhekelela ukuthi ikuphi okusho elingakwenza ukuze bageyine imali. Sekukhona iy'nkonzo ey'ngena Friday 12:00 phakathi lakhona i-ATM. Okunye i-TV ngiyabonga uma ukwazi ukukhuluma ngama-channel la kwi-TV. Ingakho ukuthi uma uyi-politician funeka ube uvule umqondo ube broad ukuze wazi ukuthi kwenzakalani ezweni. ungajabulela ukuthi politician kodwa ukwazi ukudika yabona kuna le Chanel ka 344 yes le Chanel iyona esuka phesheya lamasonto ngokomthetho aqhamuka outside of this country kwakhiwa imali le Chanel ithi na ivulela nombhalo ongavula le lasonto nale account ukuthi umfundisi lapha ku screen etifaka le account uma ufuna umsebenzi uzoyithola KZN ngathi ngibona uqoqa abafundisi la so kusho njalo ngokuzamhlonishwa ngangayibona kunegebengu zasethekwini anganoba mhlawumbe ukhetha kanjani ngoba kuyimanti enginyanyisayo ngala masonto laba bantu abasonta laphayana ukuthi noma umbone ekhuphuka izinga lakhe uyaphansi momo abagulayo bagula momo umbuzo wami uthi ezinye izinto esekubheka ukuthi yini esengade zakubona or ikhona le nto enza ukuthi bathonye abantu leli sonto lakho livulwa manje uyalibona kaligcwele into ongayazi ezinye izinto lezo umathoso ngiyathanda into eniyenzayo ngaye futhi ngithi qhubeka nalento labantu-ke kodwa kuyibona bona abahamba bayomela lezi gebengu mina ngokwami uma ngabe niqinisele zohulumeni funa ababoshwe ngoba kusho ukuthi bona bayakuthanda lokuzana ugebengu ngisazobuya-ke ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to compliment the Commission for the good work that they're doing. Chairperson, I'm going to make an appeal that perhaps as Parliament we need to immediately engage our communities and caution them about these bogus churches. Number two, vulnerable people have been rude in the name of God using the Bible. Worst of it all, Chairperson, this is done by certain foreign nationals. Another problem that we've recently seen on TV is a story of a gentleman that broke his silence and told of his rape ordeal that he was raped by a Roman Catholic pastor for many, many, many years. And Chairperson, I'd like the Commission to follow up on that. My humble appeal again, therefore, Chairperson, we need to close down some of these churches as our people suffer abuse, and most of it, all these churches are in the township where they make serious noise that we cannot even have enjoy our peace. These charismatic churches must be barred from operating even in the townships and in the urban areas. Our people have been made to give big sums of money as if they are ATMs. We often see this on TV where some of these pastors even go to an extent of providing bank accounts so that people deposit money as the offerings. But then we also have traditional leaders. Traditional leaders themselves are no different. They do the same thing as these charismatic churches. They claim to heal people whilst taking advantage of them. We also need to stringently look into the issue of monitoring taverns, as these taverns become the haven for drug dealers who supply and infect our communities with drugs. Lastly, Chair, I love what the Commission is doing in trying to deal with the issue of homodoslo. It is my wish that the advocates and their legal teams may be barred from operating or even possibly be arrested because they are defending something that is defenseless. Thank you, Chair.
There's not much left for me to say. You've heard it all from so many people. But I do just want to question one thing and also to thank you for your presentation. I think it's good to see that you are on top of the situation, but again, what can you actually do apart from listening? The implementation is always something that we suffer with. We've got the best of intentions, we've got the good laws, but where is the manpower, where is the funding? But do you interact closely with SAPS and with the criminal justice system? Because I think this is, you know, we need to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. Again, we know that funding is a problem, but I think that's not good enough. We can't keep on saying the budget is not big enough we somehow, as representatives of the people, all of us, have to say that governments must put their money where their mouths are and make sure that funding is available for what is really, really necessary. I'm dealing with a case at the moment in Kensington, and it's a father who's actually approached me about what's happening to his child between the mother and the new husband. And it's quite tragic. This man has been pushed from pillar to post, from social worker in the school to the social workers to the child protection unit to the police. And he phones me and he says, I've done all those things, but nothing is happening. And this is my frustration. I can't follow up everybody, and I do the best that I can do. But what can we do as a committee, and what can we do to empower you? Because exploitation is happening even within traditional churches, and this is the case of a very traditional church. I'm not going to mention names. But there's a powerlessness that I think affects all of us. And we've got to somehow just see what can be done. Okay, the original question, do you interact with SAPS and the others? I'll leave it at that. I think my gogo there also wants to speak, and there's a long way.
Been a very strong woman. And I'm very grateful, I'm repeating it. Never give up to those animals. And they are all foreigners. We're not talking about xenophobia here. My late daughter was hooked into attending this church. And there was punishment, not eating, but cutting out some of the things that she needed. And when you say they try to brainwash you, that's exactly what they do. I was warned, if I continue teaching her against attending that church, I will suffer. I never suffered, here I am, even today. But how I saved the other kids in Chesterton, that for even when she eventually died at some stage, but of just ailments, I told the strength, I don't need them. So I put my foot down. They came and they started talking about fire. I said, fire in heaven or wherever. Mm-hmm. But not here. I want to ensure that my child is buried. I'm aware of the tune. And unfortunately, this or multiple soul, whatever it may be, have taken those kids, have been trailing them because they were part of the idol. That's where he is recruited. Only to turn around and make them sex slaves. And go to the extent of turning the kids against their mother. It's a painful thing. Then my question is, till when as women are we going to fold our arms and allow these horrible animals to appear back here? People are sentenced to 20 years. They came out, they come out of jail. And prison. checked the field, they were all checked out. We knew whose kids they were. They said that 10, they knew this. We said, no way. Don't play with the Bible.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry to be late. Firstly, I would like to commend Saluva for your good work, the CRL, and for yourself, and the way you are so brave to take out what other people are afraid of in dealing with these corrupt pastors who are using our the name of God for them to be billionaires and using poor people for them to enrich themselves. I know that in South Africa, siwothathekile kakhulu. And ma ungathi nje, nami Jesu lapho kuTable Mountain, all of us singayikhuphuka manje Table Mountain sibheke phezulu. Siyofuna ukubona lo Jesu sikhuluma ngaye. But because we know ukuthi the issue of poverty in South Africa is very, very difficult to mention, because we know abantu bethu the way abahlupheke ngakhona. Abantu bayagula, banezifo eziningi ezihlukile ezingalapheki. Once kwaba kukhona umfundisi othi nje hayi yizani nanti ibhodlela lamanzi liyayelapha i-HIV, all of us sijimela khona siyofuna ukwelashwa ngala manzi esingawazi noma ngempela kuyiqiniso elingakanani ukuthi la manzi ayayiqeda i-HIV. Abantu bathi bayeke ngisho imithi abayisebenzisa amaphilisi, because they know that this water, this holy water of which they believe now is curing HIV, then they will abandon the medication just because they have been told that this holy water. So I'm appealing to the South Africans with CNA. This year ukuba uthathekile ukuthi nje once I know ukuthi le nto ikhulunywa ngayo eBhayibhelini ukuthi kuyoba nabaprofethi bamanga abayoqhamuka ngey'nsuku zokugcina ezinjengalezi, abayothi into abayisukela izemala nabantu bokwenza njalo balandelela okuyiwa ngakhona. But I fully agree with our honorable members that SARS government should regulate these churches and collect revenue. Because as soon as they start collecting revenue, you will find the most of them collapsing. The issue here is that these most churches now are being established by foreign nationals for money in every corner of South Africa. But as we as South Africans, we cannot go to their own countries and do what they are doing in this country. And would like the CRL to do what they are doing in South Africa. They have regulations in their own countries. Therefore, the South African government must tighten up legislation and implement most of the legislation to tighten up and make sure that we close all these foreign churches. And would like the CRL to continue doing its work, although it's very difficult to change the minds of the people who have been brainwashed by these churches. But my question to the CRL is whether you have considered doing a summit by calling all these church leaders and deal with these matters, because I have seen that when I was watching TV, Pope is going all over the country dealing with the matter of sexual abuse of boys in the Catholic Church. So are you going to make sure that you call the summit and make sure that you deal with this issue and you make them aware that you don't want a CRM, you don't want you need those churches to do whatever they want, but they must have legislation that must follow instead of doing whatever they are doing. Because I know there are churches like Zionist Church where people are even called to pay 10%, but they are unable to pay even the 10%. But when there's a foreign church in the area, you find that people will leave their own churches and go to that foreigner church. While they are there, they will pay whatever money they have just because they thought that some miracle will happen in their life. So can you ever consider calling the summit so that you can deal all this matter? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson, Civil Rights Commission, Mama Popo Mupanazi Kamimba. Thank you for the good work that you are doing. Keep up. Our awareness campaign, Chair, is on the way. According to the brief or the report that we just had from the Chairperson. What I want to suggest is that there are women structures here in Parliament. Maybe she should start here before she moves outside these buildings. We have women's caucuses, anti-women organization, and structures of Parliament, especially women. Secondly, I would recommend a very strong partnership between the CRL Commission, Rights Commission, and the men's organizations. Maybe we should get that kind of report of that relationship or that partnership has grown, the bravery that she's displaying. I'm not sure if it's there with our organization as men. Maybe that could help and make us a bit braver by nature. Men are supposed to be the strongest, but I'm not sure if that is happening in that organization. So that kind of partnership, I would really encourage. to be formalized and work to work together. Yeah. And I know colleague next to me was talking about the agent of streets, and I don't know what he meant by that. Maybe those who are against what is happening would be called the agent of Satan. But lastly, Chair, I would wish the security of the chairperson for this commission is tightened. I'm talking about her physique, because it's an area that we are treading that will be seen as very dangerous. I'm not sure. Maybe she should tell us how he feels about the security that she's enjoying for us. And lastly, relations or dialogues or a session with the government. Talking about government, could you tell us something as to what you've done, what you had sessions with them, and if yes, and what did you get out of that kind of interaction? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Chair. I'll try and move my responses to the some of the questions and comments in that kind of forum. The issue of the regulation of the religious center and how the religious center dealt with the challenges in the religious center itself. We have actually been raising this issue that the silence is deafening. Why is deafening? I'm not sure. While where that the LAPD a week or so ago issued a statement condemning what is happening as far as the Omotoso issue is concerned. But the issue is bigger than Omotoso. Omotoso is not the only problem. There are many Omotoso. It's just that in this instance, he chose the wrong guess. His formula failed. Somehow, he didn't pick up the right one for him. And this one decided enough was enough, and they stood up. I think you are correct in saying we need the religious sector to take this thing and deal with it. What we did about a month ago, we called the bigger formations like your ZCC, Sheve, FICC, all the bigger umbrella-like organizations, and we said to them, we're tired of taking the risk, we're tired of fighting. We want you to take this thing forward. Pastor Ray Makoli was elected to be the convener to take this issue and call, there was also a question about a summit, and call a summit of religious leaders. Because someone needs to do it. The challenge we faced all along was that there must be a separation of church from state. The state wants to take over the church. Our argument has always been the state won't take over the church if the church is taking care of its business.
Yeah.
When the church fails to take care of its business, then the state has one responsibility, to protect
its citizens.
That's the only job the state has. Yeah. That's why the state tells you you can't take drugs. That's why the state tells you you must buckle up. If you don't buckle up, it's you who's going to die. But the state takes care of you and protects you from your own self. But in this instance, hence the saying, we've tried. We've reached the stage where we've said to the church, convene your own summit because you don't trust us. You think we've got another agenda beyond the agenda of protecting congregants that is in the Constitution. We've highlighted the fact that the Constitution says, was the commission to protect and promote the rights, in this instance, of religious communities and not religious leaders. So the Constitution has never asked us to promote pastors and bishops and whatever. And they're the ones who complain that you are here to protect us, but you're not protecting us. Our argument has always been, it's not in the Constitution. The Constitution says community. And communities are ordinary. So we've been struggling seriously with that. And the issue of a peer review committee, what we've discovered is that the issue of prayers and let's forgive and whatever happens within the same church. If you take critical leaders and they form a committee, senior people, they are not likely to forgive someone from another church and let's forgive and pray and do whatever. What happens is that in traditional churches, even in these new churches, you have a board. The board is I don't know what they are, because they accept anything and everything from the religious leader. Yes, you know, more like sidekicks and stooges of the main men. And you find that in most of these cases, young people will say to us, but I've reported to the church. The board of the church is doing nothing. They just said, you know, if you said God, you said that, then we're not here to say it's not God. So the system internally is about forgiveness, is about protection. It's about not wanting to confront. And maybe we should be fair and say, when these men become big, they really become bigger than anything you've ever seen. They have more power than any political authority, even the president has far less power than them.
Yeah.
So when they're big, not medium size. And it's very hard for the congregants inside, who happen to be board members, to confront the power they're faced with. And some of them really truly believe that this man of God is talking to God. And they go with the flow on that one. So we have that question, that problem. The awareness campaign, we have said, this is linked to how much of a budget we have. We've had to go and fundraise. And that said, we're still in negotiations now, at least getting somewhere, with the National Lottery Commission, because our budget is 49 million rands a year. While the least funded Chapter 9 institution by far, the others are in hundreds, million, whatever million. Yes, CG, I'm sure you know better what CG is getting. We are getting 49 million. And in this 49 million, we cannot run a public awareness campaign that costs 20 million. So it's been impossible to do what needs to be done with the money we're given. Part of it is that once you have a budget that is able to, you then have to find other mechanisms of how to push the agenda forward. We've said we are dealing with the most downtrodden. We ought to be in regions. We ought to be in provinces. But we only have one office in Joburg. So if you are abused and you are in Kuze, yeah, well, unless you've got an email or a phone or whatever, we won't know about you. And we deal with the most downtrodden people in their culture, in their religion, in their language. But what is it funded? We've been screaming and shouting and praying. I we've done everything. We've prayed that she's an effect. It's not happening. Nothing works. And a disabling budget causes you not to do what you need to do. Hence you say, even this public awareness campaign we're talking about is linked to the National Lotteries Commission given us now. If they don't, there's no campaign because you can't take the money for other things and pump it into a campaign. This nation needs a campaign. It needs someone to pay for the campaign. If you don't get a budget, you need to go back. We've been doing that, trying to get to an awareness campaign. And this budget makes us not to do what the Constitution expects us to do. It's disabling. We are violating the Act. For instance, our Act says we must have a national consultative conference when we start at the beginning and when we end. We're almost at the end of our 5-year term. We've not had one national consultative conference because it says Parliament must allocate funds to have a national consultative conference. And Parliament has not done that. So we cannot do that. They say we must go and fundraise from the same churches. Of course, we will end up doing capture. If we go to these churches and beg them for money, yeah, then next time you get a report that, you know, they are doing strange things, we'll be reluctant to confront them because they switch the money off. So if we're being asked to fundraise from the same churches, then we're asking for trouble. We'll get ourselves into a situation that we won't be able to sustain. They'll capture us and then they'll tell us the next day you won't get even a cent. It shouldn't be like that if you're a chaplain administration. You shouldn't depend on the same people that you are supposed to monitor. And then you're told go fundraise. And that's what we're told in a committee here in Parliament, that we're supposed to go and fundraise from the churches. The churches have money. And our argument is the churches have money because they're abusing the people. So now we must benefit from this abuse and be part of this abuse. And then how do we turn around and say, you're doing the wrong thing, Pastor, when the Pastor is giving us 10 million rand? Of course, we won't be able to do that. We'll have to play nice to the Pastor. So we've decided we'd rather go fundraise outside than do what we're being asked to do. So the National Consultative Conference has not happened. It will only happen the day we're given money in a formally allocated structure in terms of Parliament and the Department. And then the issue of the... Well, we made recommendations to the relevant committee, yes, we have. We have a report, I'm sure you'll get it, we're facilitating that. We did the report, we submitted it, and I think some of the members were there when we presented our report to the Portfolio Committee on Corporate, because we made recommendations. I don't know if you can see this one. Part of the recommendations were that everyone must be registered to start with. Everyone must belong to an umbrella organization. Everyone must be licensed. everyone must be accountable and must be in line with the code of conduct. If they are not in line with the code of conduct, and your peers who are senior, who are a board who oversees this thing, should be able to say, not fit and proper to be one of us, and should be able to say the license is revoked, and you can just go somewhere and do something else. We've made those proposals. We tabled the report here. We sent it to COFTA, we sent it to the OSD, and we're told, no, go back, you know, the sample you used. The sample we used was based on a scientific methodology. The sample we used was too small. We identified umbrella organizations. And for instance, you call the Methodist Church. You call it the head of the Methodist Church. It's not one church. So they have how many branches in this church? You call it the Catholic, they have branches. You call it, so we call the bigger formations and the medium ones and the small ones. And we're told, no, the pastors are complaining that you didn't call them. They must agree to the state. And I'm saying, you know, it's like the criminal justice system trying to pass legislation against drug laws. And then you're told, you know, the drug laws are not happy with the state of yours. Go back and negotiate. Of course, those that are not happy should remain unhindered by your government. Because they are the ones who are the best beneficiaries. They are the ones who came here to Parliament and complained about the Sarah Commission. Of course, let them complain. If they didn't complain, we would have thought it means, oh yeah, we've missed the boat here. If you are a beneficiary and you come here to Parliament and you're rich and you can afford to fly in and do whatever you're doing, you are benefiting. And the ones who are here, we know them. So they complained and were told, go back, call an NCC, a National Consultative Conference, go fundraise and do this thing again. And try and win them over. Our point of departure is that if you're going to solve the problem, you can't make Omotoso hate you. Of course, it's going to crash. So how are you then supposed to make them happy? At the expense of everyone. No, they say they were not consulted. Well, we called meetings, if they didn't come to the meetings, it's their own problem. We went to all 9 provinces, we called all meetings and we told them this is what we think will work. And they want, for them, consultation means agree with me. If I'm saying don't do this, then say okay, I'm not doing it. So we've tabled our report. Over, you know, almost a year now. And we're still waiting for the money to call the National Consultative Conference. And while we wait for the money to come, the pastors are not waiting. They are continuing. So there's not much we can do. And as you rightly say, the Traditional Healers Act was passed here in 2002 or something. And we said, that's about a religion, African religion. So why are you talking freedom of religion now? Why didn't you, when you were passing legislation for Izangoma and Dizinyana, think of freedom of religion? If freedom of religion did not apply then, why, when we're talking about Christian leadership, then we talk about freedom of religion. Then we talk about separating states from religion. Whereas we've already done it here in this building. It's done already. So all we're asking is that extend it to others as well. And it's the same kind of structure we're proposing. They proposed the council. Of course, it's not been implemented until now. They're supposed to be a council. We are proposing a council. So it's the same thing. It's not like coming up with something that has not worked, but the unbelievers are difficult. It's not easy. It's not a nice, free, flowing road. It's a difficult road. The issue of religious freedom, we believe that religious freedom has limitations. One, people's human dignity. Their right to human dignity, right to life, right to their own agency, right, is taken away from them. Then freedom of religion should stop right there. There are limitations that should be put into the place. The issue of complaints and investigation. The Constitution gives us powers to look into that. The Act gives us powers to look into that. But our problem is that unless there's a system that is then regulated through a parliamentary process,
yeah,
that will then say, if you are a pastor, this is how you will behave. You will think, I don't know, we can't build this thing up. We're going to ask to show you the structure we've proposed. What that says, there will be no religious practitioner who operates there without a license. You can't just walk in here or the physics or wake up and go home and say, I'm a pastor. You must have a system. We're also saying there must be some kind of basic qualification, even if it's NQF, whatever, 2, 3, that will teach you basic things. You should understand the Constitution. You should understand the rights of people. Before you operate, you should understand how to do financial, how to bank. We discovered that some of them were actually banking in their own bank accounts. So we're starting with religious practitioners at the bottom. No one should be a religious practitioner here or a pastor, a bishop or whatever, without being in the central record somewhere. We should know who is where doing what to do. And then we are also saying a worship center, which is a church or a place of worship of whatever kind, should be registered, and they should get a document allowing them to operate from a particular place from the municipality.
Yes.
So that the municipality can then say, yes, you can operate here, and this building can accommodate so many people.
Yeah, help by law.
We've seen in places like Joburg that people tend to spill over to the street outside, and they run the church with loud speakers outside. That can't be within the
laws,
violence. The level of noise which was raised by Honorable Cowper is unbelievable. We've had many complaints that children can't study because these churches are in between homes. And people are not sleeping at night. These are not churches that are there on Sunday. You know, people who think a church is there on Sunday, some of them may go on Saturday, like the Seventh Adventist. These are churches that run every day until past midnight. And the basic thing is that there must be a sound system. There must be noise. And the sound system must be a loud volume. And no one can sleep in that area. That's against the Bible. All that municipalities need to do is to implement the bylaws and enforce them and shut them down if they keep breaking down the law, as the bylaws say. But for some reason, everyone is afraid. This is a very scary situation where we're afraid of religious leaders.
Yeah.
And we're all scared of speaking truth to power. And if you do, you see that, oh, she's a bit crazy. And what else we're saying is that you must belong to an umbrella organization, the SACC or SOSIC or whatever. There are many organizations. Be a member so that people will know that Umfundi Sunkwana Skaluva goes to that office that is in that building. So if there's something Umfundi is doing, we can go and report it there. if the system internally protects him, there must be a door we go to support that the pastor is doing this and this and this in the church. Right now, there's no place like that. If you belong to the umbrella organization, then the umbrella organization will be the best defense mechanism for the congregation. And we're then saying, if that defense mechanism fails, there must be a national umbrella organization for each religion. So that you have a check and balance type of thing that should be happening, a peer review mechanism that will look at problems that can't be solved by the umbrella organization, but in order to make sure that we protect citizens. We've said this many times, that's our basic kind of expectation. The issue of revenue collection and SARS, we've been talking to SARS, and SARS has already, they've told us they've created a unit to look at religion as the religion center. Look at where the money is, how much money they can get out of it. You see, SARS is not worried that people are selling water and selling this and selling that. They are worried that they are not paying VAT on it. They are not paying tax on their income. We are worried that they are even selling water. So while we are going with SARS that they must collect as much as possible, we are also worried that whose money is this? Because it's mainly poor people's money, right? You know, people who are being sold water and all these fake products are not the very rich type. The supermarket approach applies to very poor communities, what we realize. The middle income ones are the ones who pay like up to 22,000 rand to have a one-on-one with the pastor. Well, maybe they know what they're doing. Most of them are educated, and someone said if you can afford to move from here to Nigeria to be Joshua's church and pay 21,000 rand to get there, it's probably because you have the money. Or maybe you'll go to a loan shop and get the money or whatever to get there. But the most people who suffer are people who have been sold fake products, this holy product. Gogos have to choose between buying food and buying faith products, and taking their money, the grant money, and buying all these things, and being told that you don't need to take your blood pressure medicine, your diabetes medicine. This, you know, will heal you. And it's all about faith. If you have faith, you don't need this doctor's thing. We've asked them to say, at least take this pill with this water. Then there'll be double the strength, you know, so that they want to sell the thing. They are water and they are salt and they are whatever. How do we differentiate between a cult and a church? Very difficult. Some of these persons, you see the cultic behavior, but they're still a church. When one person becomes so big that when he walks into the room, we are all on our chest, down on the floor. When he walks into the room, the police are kissing his shoes and putting their uniforms down for him to walk on. Then you know the criminal justice system won't work here. Who's going to report him once? No way. He's got friends. And it's the police's friend. You've got nowhere else to go to. You can't go to the police station. You've seen them, the old brigadier, old whatever. Hey, he's walking on their shoes, on their jacket, on their police uniform. That destabilizes the whole system in your head. Because then you know, capture. If you have a peer review committee, you can go there and say, hey, I don't know, but this man has captured the police station, he's captured everything, please help me here. Without a peer review committee, you've got nowhere to go to. I'm getting support from the department. The department has promised us that they are looking for money for the National Consultative Conference. have you said our budget is 49 million rand? And you can do so much with it. When it's supposed to be protecting every individual in this country, basically. We're getting what we're getting, and there isn't much else we can do. The issue of a debate of foreign nationals, we feel that there should be a summit, especially around Christianity, and for the nation to determine how we're going to deal with what we face with. We're also looking for money everywhere for this summit to happen, because we feel we need to have an agreement with the religious sector first and foremost, or have a disagreement. We need to agree to disagree at some point. And I think as the Civil Rights Commission, we've reached the stage of, okay, let's agree to disagree. You don't want to be monitored, you don't want to have a regulated system. We're not regulating the church and how you preach and whom you believe in. We're regulating the individual, because the problem is the big man. The big man is the problem. And not the Bible. What the big man is doing is not in the Bible. And the building has done nothing wrong if it complies with the Bible. So we still remain with the big man abusing people. And if the big man and his friends don't agree, well, so be it. If you've been told, go and make them agree. Go consult them further. For us to see that there's nothing to consult about it. You just need to pass the law. Have to say, it's this building that must solve the problem. We're taking it back to the building and the saying, until such time as you're willing to implement that structure that you propose, to make sure that the code of conduct is effective. I always say the Bible is a very good code of conduct. If they can't stick to the Bible, then the law must kick in. If the law can't kick in, people will continue being abused. Because we are so sure that if the system is effective and efficient, the level of abuse will be lessened. Because your peers will start saying to you, hey, honorable pastor, you are now out of hand. And this excitement of feeding people everything will stop, because they're not. They will lose their license. And they'll never again be allowed to practice in this country. And if they do so illegally, they will be arrested. If you come from another country and you come here, we've outlined the process that there must be a limit of how many can come in. Like doctors, like every other career, there's a limit. You can't suddenly have 10,000 doctors coming to South Africa to be doctors. Even here, we must say you can only get so many per annum who want to come here and do miracles. Because Home Affairs tells us, they say they're coming here to do miracles. And they don't know how to measure miracles. They say you are a great physician, they know what measurement they should do. They should do them. There's the health professional counsel. Now if you come here and you say, I do miracles in church, how are they supposed to test you that you can do the miracles? If we have a peer review committee, that's when, you know, you can say per annum maybe 50 can come in. There are enough miracles now. We don't need any, maybe in 10 years' time, we can get more miracle makers and they can come and be magicians. That's what we need as a nation. But there's no one stopping anything. We've asked Home Affairs to tighten up their systems, but they say, we should understand, what measurement are they going to use? Where should they go to? In the new system we're proposing, that the Civil Commission will help you with that. Because this thing of opening the doors wide, let them all come in, is what is enforced right now. I remember I even said to their officials, okay, if you go back to your office now and find 5,000 applicants, what are you going to do? They are all applying to be magicians to come in the position. And they said, we waive all the other rules that we have. They waive them. So I said, so all 5,000 will pass. yes, they will go.
Yes.
So that's where the problem is. People are not illiterate once they realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, South Africa is like to say, ah, this pastors are all illiterate. They've got work permits.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've got work permits for 5 years, they graduate like everybody else into permanent residence. They do the right thing. So I've always said people have this thing about foreign pastors, like they are all illiterate. They come in through the system. The system needs to be tightened up.
Yeah.
We've made proposals. We're waiting for the National Consultative Conference. We're waiting for the money. So it keeps rolling. And as they are chased away from back home, they keep coming down. Come down and come and open up here and get in and do whatever. So it's very difficult for us, as you can tell, very much frustrated now. Because we know the problem. We understand the nature of the problem. We understand the urgency of the problem. But we are totally powerless to do anything except to wait for the money to call the NCC. And the issue of the relationship with other chapter 9, we have what we call the Forum for Institutions that Support Democracy, which were part of the Law Chapter 9 and other institutions that are in the Constitution. A part of, so we discuss most of these things. For instance, to give an example, when some of the girls who are in the Omotoso Church came to us and they said, we want to tell our story. That was like 6 months ago or some time ago. They were tired of being anonymous, they were tired of hiding, they were tired of, you know, not telling the story and letting the big man continue telling his version of the story. We invited the other chapter 9s like you, GE, etc., etc., and we said, there's a problem here. These children are saying this, even the twins were there, Cheryl, we all know Cheryl now at this point. But they were months ago, and we told them, you know, let's look at how to resolve these issues. At that time, at least, most of the girls were ready to tell their story, but we had been talking to them for a while. It takes a lot for someone to be as strong as Sharon. You know, she's 22 years old, she's young, and she's telling a story of what happened to her when she was 14 years old. And the allegations making, I'm sure most of you are aware of that. It has taken a lot, it's still taking a lot to support it through the system, which is something I would like to tell this committee. These girls are on their own. The nation might be shocked to know that they are still living the lives they were living before they lay charges against a very powerful man. If you're living in a shack in your home, you're still there. You're still a sitting duck. The witness protection program has not existed. They are still where they are. We remain praying every day that nothing horrible happens. But the system needs to kick in. This is not just a show. That you will see them on TV. It shouldn't be business as usual. If you are going to do a living here in your home, live there in your home and wake up and catch a taxi and go there. These people are dangerous. Some of us know that. They mean business.
Yeah.
And the nation ought to wake up to the reality that these children need to bring them protection. And if up to now, none of them are in witness, I mean none of them are in witness protection. There's a problem. There was a question further on about my faith. At least I can buy faith. The servant can buy security for me. There was an assessment made over a year ago and I was told that you are in great danger. I don't know why I was even told. Well, I waited for them to kick in. Nothing happened. And when you've been told that they are going to kill you, now you're more afraid than you were before you knew them. And then you sit and wait, then maybe something is going to happen and see some security coming knocking here. Till today I haven't seen anything.
Oh.
So if I can't make the system move, can you imagine what it's like for these young people and their families who are petrified? So that if one day we hear that they've all decided to withdraw charges, don't be alarmed. The system has failed the young people. And if I don't say it today, I've been failing. They are perpetually afraid. Let's talk about psychological services. Who is organizing psychology for these young people who've been through so much trauma? No one. Absolutely no one. We are on your own. Not even a social worker. This kind of trauma is serious psychology to understand this stage. But they are not even getting social workers to talk to them and see them through. So, you're asking me about my security, I'll tell you, I earn a salary, I can put up systems in my house. Their parents don't have a credit. So what do you expect them to do? Is they're petrified every day. Every time something, a sound outside, they're all sitting up in their home and they think of them as heroes. And you can sit and say, oh, how strong. The reality of the matter is you can be strong as the support that you get from the system. If the system thinks they only keep you safe when you go to court, yeah, you keep them safe when they're in court. What about when they're at home and what about your family? Because your family needs to be safe as well. So, for me, well, I'm safe because the Sahara campaign for bodyguards and I can print your security at home. But what about, you see, this is the first of this kind where we see young people stand up against the religious leader. And we're only interested in them when they go to court. We're not interested in your story like, go see to finish. But the reality of the matter is, this country needs to take care of its own. These young people need support. These young people need to be kept safe. These young people's families need to be kept safe. But I can assure you sitting here that they are not. No one has done something up to now. Even about the chief witness in the U.S. whom the whole country is talking about. What has the system done for her? Nothing. Nothing. Look after your own self, you know? Yeah, try and keep safe. And that is what you are afraid of. That when people stand up, see, the system falls apart when there's a pastor in the house. The system breaks down. If this had been drug laws, the system would have quickly kicked in those in safe houses by now. But if there's a pastor, no. In spite of the fact that people are outside calling, threatening to chop them to pieces, no one is worried. It's like, yeah, wait. Look after your own self. I can guarantee you, up to this morning, there was nothing for Sheryl. Up to this morning, absolutely nothing. And that's why I'm saying this committee ought to know this lady. Because you are responsible for keeping these young people safe, whom we are all calling heroes. It's nice to call, oh, she's so brave, she's so strong. But she's a human being like all of us. She gets afraid. Not like these young people are made of stone. So
So I'm hoping this committee will help us push the agenda of these young people forward. And then the issue of outreach support from the Department of Justice. Coincidentally, we're meeting with the Minister of Justice tonight about this report. But one of the things we want to raise it is the whole issue of the witness protection program. Because we feel the witness protection program must kick in at some point. It doesn't kick in by you calling them once and saying, oh, you know, we are under very serious threat now. Because at that point, it's scaring them even further. I know this, I've gone through it. So you're telling one person, you are under extreme danger. We'll come and fetch you. A week later, nothing has happened. You're scaring the person even further. So, you know, for us, we've reached the stage where it's all about prayers now. Let's hope and pray. We are free, Honorable Counter, that we need to go to communities and do mass meetings. We need to start being visible more. We need to start being more brave and go into the scene itself. Hence, we're asking the National Electoral Commission to help us with this one. We are looking at going to schools, going to communities. We've had discussions with the relevant people that we need to talk to school-going kids so that they can take the message back home, community halls, all sorts of other things. The problem caused by religious leaders within families. Yes.
Thank you.
sele kuwit before that is done.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm very
we are very much aware that a lot of people get hooked into a church through a TV program. They see the pastor or the reverend or bishop running the service on TV, and they see people being healed, and some of them come in wheelchairs, and they are prayed for, and they are healed. Others say, I drank this water, and I'm now healed. And of course, it's just pure advertising. Has led us, the Advertising Standards Authority, that is now defunct, to look into this issue. Because we feel this is illegal advertising. And if maybe we can clamp down on the illegal advertising, less people will be hooked, so that on TV they are not advertising products. And then the kids will be less harmed in a way. We agree with you that you go to church with a little bit of money, you give with very little, nothing. It's the issue of the implementation. We're saying we're waiting for the relevant legislation to be passed and enforced so that we can hold the people accountable. We interact closely with SAP a few weeks ago, a month or so ago. There was that meeting here, the joint meeting between this committee and the police committee in Parliament. At least something positive came out of that for us. They allocated Major General Linda, who's been helping us with cases of pastors that have stalled totally. People lay charges, especially on sexual abuse. The cases have stalled. There was a pastor who had been arrested and then given bail from Ghana. And then at least he helped us to get the matter back in court so that the bail can be revoked, because he was threatening these young people, sending them SMSs, sending them films, them showing them naked pictures of himself in his bath and all sorts of filthy things he was doing. And when he was supposed to go back to court, he skipped bail. So the fact that he was given bail to start with is a queer. He had raped 2 14-year-olds who had come forward. More have come forward now, but the man has vanished. And at least the police are now at least helping us from the National Department to follow up on all these cases. You know, when you lay a charge against a man of God, it takes a lot to get him to where Omotoso is now. It takes a huge lot to make the system move. And at least they are now trying to help us with that. So we thank that meeting. You know, sometimes we don't know that a meeting is useful. It was very useful for some of the kids, at least. And, you know, there are moving cases that have stopped around past that. People who come out of jail and open churches until that legislation that forces advancing, it will always happen. Because from that, who went there for fraud to come back and open a church, no one can stop that until and unless that legislation. The issue of training, the lack of training, is one thing we raised in our report, that there must be basic training. There's no profession that you sleep and wake up and no one is trained, now running all by yourself. So it's very critical. And we discovered that as we're calling people in, a lot of them were not trained. They had a calling and then they started. And the challenge with racism of the police attending churches, it's very difficult for a police person to follow up on a case about a pastor if they attend the same church. A lot of people have asked, why is the Omototo case in PE and not in Devon, where the crimes were committed? Well, I think Sharon put it very nicely when she said they were his protocol officers. And you see, even the twins' mother, when we had that joint thing, she did raise the issue that she went there to get her kids. And she was collected by the same police who took her to the church where she was verbally abused and threatened, and she had to give up on her children. So when the system collapses, it really collapses around churches, because people are so, like, you know, scared of this pastor. A religious summit is what we've asked Pastor Ray McCauley to convene. Then there must be a big religious summit that is going to be run together with the Sarah Commission, and that will elect a task team that we're hoping will help us take through this proposal to Parliament and make Parliament understand that this is urgent and that regulations need to be passed. So there is a religious summit coming up. Why people leave their churches and join the new one? We've asked people, you know, when we did our investigation, when the parallel process we're doing with UNISA, to look at those issues and the issues of gullibility, why are our people so gullible? Part of it is that these new churches are exciting, especially for young people. You know, in our traditional churches, you go there to sing from the book, and, you know, in these churches, things are really happening, and they are noisy and dancing and whatever. Part of it is sheer entertainment. You go there, you get hooked, and then the rest happens. But most young people have become highly religious in these churches. It's more like a drug. They go there, we're talking to some psychiatrists and psychologists, asking them to define what is this thing. Church used to be once a week, 2-3 hours if you long, and then you go home and wait for the next Sunday. But this is like a drug to them. They need to go there every day. So if you go there more often, you pay more often. You get poor faster. If you go to a normal church, the thing passes through, you put whatever, 50 cents or whatever you have that day, it's fine. Here, it's a real show. Those that pay so much money will go first, and, you know, everyone is clapping. So you also want to be seen to be doing more for the men of God. So you get the money even if you don't have it, even if you have to go to a loan shark. So it's part of the drug, it's part of the, it's like a drug, you need to go there. If you miss one service, it's like, it's terrible, something horrible has happened to you. So that's also part of the psyche and the what they do to your head. The issue of a partnership with the Men's Forum, we'll look at that urgently. As we go back in terms of talking to the Men's Forum to see how we can help them stand up in these instances. But it's also important to note that most of these young people who were targeted do not live with their fathers. So there's also the issue of fathers taking the responsibility and being present, even if they are not in the same house, that they must be present in the lives of their children to protect them. And the relations with government, as I said, we're talking to COPTA. This evening we're talking to the Minister of Justice about the witness protection program and the security for these witnesses. We presented the report to the President then, last year, and a lot of departments that are affected, like your home affairs, presented to them as well, social development, etc. They are all aware of this report. So what I can say in conclusion, Honorable Chair, is that I'm hoping this committee will help us protect the lives of these witnesses in this particular case. Their lives are not safe. They are continuing with their normal life. That we're hoping the Witness Protection Program will kick in, and they should be given the care that they need in terms of psychologists being made available to them. at this current moment, the family have to provide this counseling. These young people have gone through trauma for years and years, and they need serious support. It's okay for us to say, oh, wonderful, nice night, heroes, but we've got to put our money where our mouths are and start doing something more effective than what you're doing right now. Thanks a lot, Honorable.
Thank you,
Michelle.
Thank you, Commissioner. Question. Since CRM has got power, like CGE, in terms of talking to social development, by getting social workers to be supportive of the homes, understanding the constraints that you've got financially, but how difficult it is to get social workers to help these victims and their families. Number two, I'm happy that you are going to speak to COCTA, because COCTA is talking about poor service delivery and they are overlooking this. And I think it's important that they must take this very, very seriously, because municipalities are basically responsible for having all these mushroom churches happening within their areas, because I feel they should have been monitored. The third one, Chairperson, I'm worried that we are being led by other countries, that South Africa wake up. Already, Commissioner is telling us that Rwanda, immediately after they saw this Omotesa case in South Africa, so many churches have been closed and the other African countries have been closed. The thing you want here in South Africa? After this, nothing. Now, what is wrong with us? Something is definitely very, very wrong. We should be closing a lot of these churches right now. Otherwise, it's the same on us if other countries have already closed these churches, but we haven't closed one. And also, the help of regulation and licensing will help both South African pastors and foreign pastors who come to this country, so that they can be checked. Have they been pastors in their area? Authority. Because you find that most of them, when they don't get jobs, they are just told open the checks, because in South Africa they can just open the checks. So the regulation, I think, is something that should have been like done like yesterday. Then they can monitor. I can assure you a lot of them will prove. And finally, chapter 2. As this committee, I think we need to have a meeting with the Speaker of the House to make her aware of what is happening, so that as this committee we can also be seen taking a stand towards what is happening, especially there is this Omotesa case right now. What is this committee doing in terms of supporting the victims that are already online to go and attack? Because like the commissioner said, we may not be surprised that a lot of them may withdraw because of the threats, we do not know. So I think this committee has a mandate to do something to help those victims, even the ones that maybe would still want to come up and go and testify. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, I was saying that I had tried to get the Minister of Women, but she's in a meeting, but I have talked with the acting DJ with regards to this member of the protection of the UPR guests and their families. And also, on the breaking news, this the judge has rejected the appeal of the defense by the defense of Omotoso to recuse himself from the trial, which is the good news to this trial. And the issue, what I wanted to say is that, you know, the using of people as advertisement in the name of disabled people, because this is annoying us, disabled persons, because we know that sometimes we have seen the wheelchairs flying in those churches, but when you find out that no, this person is not a disabled person, but has been used to say, no, we have healed that person, anyway you find out that person has no disability. So I think on the disability sector it's also needed to be one of the people that must be attending the summit to allow themselves to say that they don't want the people to be used as advertisement, because disability is not a right thing. You know, we know that being a disabled person, there are many environmental issues that disabled you, so that is why being disabled is not just an issue that they can use it for them to get money or to get trust from the people. That is what I was going to say. Thank you, Chair.
Although one thing that Shungo Honorable Ben, I can have to general and Oibona Yenzega, Udalama Banda Bakuba Zelin, Utatra Isano, Zobeva Dabam Kandizu 25, Chatamanda Bakila, Babego Kona, Bakate and Bakuba Zelin, and to them this is to her. Fire, Mabelo won't okay with Mabula Metro, but even a mass of them are followed the universal. Although Naman is not wish to think about this list of another basic music. Okay, Dick. As we are another corner of Sumo, Uzala, the band of Akuba, the leader, go over Nabo, soon I shoot the land. In Zella, Kambulungula, Sulomens, and after what I've been sharing. Ngoba sesiyazi konke lokhu akukho. Okunye nje ngizocela ngakandeni la. Laba bantu uma befika la eSouth Africa, bafika bathandane namantombazane. And benza show ukuthi bathandana ney'ngane lezizencane, bashade nazo. Ukushada babo nalaba bantu abashadela ukuthi bafuna abagane. Bafuna ukuba-abuse. Ngoba nama-idea la eSouth Africa bakwazi ukwenza zonke lezi zinto zobugebengu zokukhohlakala. Uma ngabe la umthetho efuna ukuqinisa, uma ngabe le ndoda yangaphandle sisho bangathanda lazi uthanda uthanda, but akamthathe phela unkosikazi wakhe ahambe naye amise kubo.
ngiza kule permit iyangixaka le nto permit siyahamba siye kumazwe angaphandle kuyaziwa ngisuka la ngiyakule phezulu zohlathi sathi singakanani. If sengifuna i-permit nalapho-ke akwazi ukuthi le permit engiyifunayo ngizobona umsebenzi engizokwenza yisikhathi esingakanani. Uyabona le ndaba yaleli zwe lethu eliwudangada yilonakane kuzogcina lisifaka enkingeni. Sizolana silwa sodwa sinama-political party kanti inkinga siqathwa yilaba abantu bokufika ngenxa yalo hulumeni okhona ongakwazi ukuthi abheke umuntu ofika la izweni ukuthi uzonzani isikhathi esingaka. And kwenziwe le-research la isuka khona ngoba i-most banamacala basuka bama-wanted lakhi nje njengokufundiswa seRoma what I know bekegwejwa uthola ukuthi uzogwejwa 7 years funa lapho isigwebo sakhe sithi hamba uyoshumayela endaweni ethize 7 years mase kuqedile leso sigwebo funa buyele emuva. Yingakho kufanele ukuthi thina silihlaziye kwebhayibheli luqobo ukuthi ibhayibheli angisho ukuthi labantu bangizwe kambe ibhayibheli ukuthi inhloso yalo yini noma kwakuyini noma inkolo kwakuyini yini eyayenza into ukuthi kuthiwa sizoshintsha inkolo yethu lingakabikho ibhayibheli sasiphila kanjani la ezweni lethu. Ngoba uma uthi uyabheka ngithanda ukubatshela ukuthi abona ibhayibheli nizathiwa ibhayibheli nalifundi A to Z funa kube nendawo la ukhetha khona ngoba ibhayibheli lilodwa lingalivula isonto labantu abenza noma yini yokukhohlakala according ibhayibheli ngeyisha loo nto. Yingakho-ke ngithi ezinye izinto funeka sishone phansi ngoba nathi as government kukhona la. Ngiyabonga futhi uma bethi uspeak uyafuneka and uchepha ulokhuzana umuminista lomnyana kuwrong ukuthi masixoxe into ey'njengabibikho especially uyena osondelena kakhulu nabantu besifazane. Ibuhlungu le nto uyabona labantu bangaphandle babefika la ngeke ngayisho le nto iyangena ngoba akufuneka usinake kakhulu amasonto. Uyabona la kuney'ngane la ey'dropha phakathi esikoleni zihlakaniphile zithenjiswe yibona umsebenzi bokuba phambe bekhipha amaphepha banamathesele layo ukuthi ukhiphe izisu uyibona njani. And banomkhulu ukuthi u-government uma kwakhuluma ngento bagijima bona bayokugxuba bakuyongena kuyona nale yokunweba izitho zangasese zabantu besilisa kuningi izinto emhlonishwa esikhangayo ngazo. Amaphilisi abona amaphilisi ukhulume ngento emnandi ukuthi waye uze uzame nokuthi uthi-ke kungcono-ke thatha amaphilisi-ke naso leso siwasho naleso siwasho sakho. Yabo kuyimanje mina ngakutshela abantwana noma abantu abasebeyasebeyeka amaphilisi abo through labantu abadayisa amanzi usho into enzima ngoba ma uthi uyayifeka yabo. And into engithatha kambi kule lizwe lethu namakhosi uqobo yazi wasebukhosini nami wasebukhosini both sides but namakhosi nawo uqobo kuyafuneka ukuthi mandla zami ubize lwa mhlangano kusihlalo ufuna ungisho abe khona ngoba bayakwazi ukusuka labafudule baye emakhaya. Amakhosi akasakwazi ukubhekelela isizwe sawo ukuthi bebasendele nani. Kuyimanje ukuthi angazwete kanjani ngoba le nto kuyasakazwa uthandazele umuntu wesifazane nabo futhi ngizosho bangixolele bakudomu umuntu wesifazane uyayiqhenya mina nje ngazi ukuthi uma uyintombazane uyayiqhenya ngomzimba wakho awukusamboni ngalo muntu umfundise umi laphayana ukwehlisa isikhindi sakho mhlawumbe ngasibona isikhindi esi-blue athi sisehlise nawe uyasehlise
phakathi kwabantu abaningi. Yingakho ngithi konke lokho funa ukubheka ukuthi yini leli drugs elikhona ngaphakathi selenza ukuthi umuntu mayingena la ma ngabe indoda avela phelelwe yonke ukuthi uyindoda kukhathe konke anakho. Lelasonto kunikela uzinikele nangomfazi wakho nangengane yakho yonke into. Kuthunga yilo yona phela mina bengisaba ukusho yilo lebekhishwayo. Angikhulumi ukuthi ngasese khona okunye okwenzekayo ke kuyimanje. Ngicela nje singadide omathosa ke simyeke umathosa wobe already sesimbambile. Kuningi khona lani uthola umnomzana onelathi umfundisi uyona athi fake bashume bonke bathi qini phansi balale yabo. Khona into thina sizokhuluma nakho lezinye izinto funa siyibheke ukuthi kwenzela ngithena-ke amakhosi amakhansela ake sibhekeni. Okunye ndiyoxoxa ngakho umhlanga. Umhlanga muhle kodwa nakhona sekukhona into engekho uyabona lento zeyinsimbi emasontweni nakulento zamasiko zinemkhulu umthelela ozobulala intsha yethu. Thina vele orethi siqedile thina siyahamba manje. But into engiyibonga kuwena, ngibonga ukuthi sihlalo unesibindi, uyasithanda ukusibona isizwe sakini e-South Africa sikhula. Uyabona le mali le 49 million akuyona imali incane. Bekufanele ngabe lo mnyango wenu no-CGE wona onikezwa imali ukuze sikwazi ukuthi yonke lezi zinto esixoxa ngazo loba khona abanama-TV, khona abanama-radio, abangenawo nebama-TV abangenawo ama-radio. And lo mthina nalasisodwa la ifuna sihlangane nale nto silisane nale nto. Mina ngithi amaphoyisa akababophe lamasonto akaphele. Why kuthi thina ngo-94 thole lento thina qondini usitshela ukuthi sasizabalaza ngama-80s to-70s sasizebeleza abantu bangaphandle bezoxhaphaza izwe lethu noshe. Okwesibili kokugcina nje ngicela ama-hops ne-NPA no-public angizikhuluma kakhulu ngayo kufanele abeseyingenele already lento SIU bazame ukwenza ubulungiswa. Why mina noma omunye wethu noma etholakale nomuzi wamathiriyoni akaboshwa akalandela ukuthi ithathaphi le mali. Imoto engihamba ngayo funeka ngazi ukuthi oke umamkhawuli yasebenzisenzenzanto lashwayenale moto. Why labantu laba bebazi ukuthi akubonakala bengabalandeli ukuthi le mali engaka uyithathaphi. That's why ngithi nathi kusimangalishe beye emabhenki ko-apps baphathe imali engako wena ungeke uvumele kwibhenki. Nathi lo government wethu ukhombisa okukhulu ukudedengu kulokho sitshelwa ngo-VBS akeyikhulile endaba leziyigebengu. Ngiyabonga So, President, thank you very much once more for the opportunity. So, President, it is my wish that we would investigate the origin of the Bible, how it has influenced our society, its intention, and perhaps even trace how people in the past used to live their lives before the Western religion took dominance. We, so, President, I also want to propose that we nab and deal hard with the people who stand in the street corners and supply safe abortion and genocide and election and flyers. Number three, seeing the damage these churches have caused in our society, why does government continue to grant these pastors permission to operate? It is also a painful and embarrassing experience to see differently abled people or persons being used for church miracle demonstrations. I wish that the commission could just go to these churches and deal with these pastors directly when they see all these things take place. Chairperson, just before I conclude, it would have been an ideal and a fruitful engagement if the minister of this department would be part of this engagement so that at least we reach, a good conclusion. And one of my colleagues referred to
these churches when they supply these holy waters, and they encourage people to stop using the pills that have been recommended or dispatched by doctors. Therefore, Chairperson, all these things, I wish that the Commission could just, you know, deal with them. Thank you. Oh, Natalie, just the last 2 words. Amakhosi should also be engaged, Chairperson, because they are the custodians of the rural communities. Lastly, the wreath ceremony should also be looked into, as it also has an impact in its advantages and disadvantages in perpetuating these abuses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. This was very difficult, especially noticing that or hearing that there's no support for these women after all that they've been through. And it's an issue that I think
the struggle with death,
no, like no, no. With the insult, whatever, to land. I keep getting the impression, and Madam Chair, you will remember that in that meeting, that joint meeting with the police, the minister said that our issues are more social issues rather than departmental issues. But when it comes to putting money where the government's mouth is, then that is saying 49 million rand to fulfill a mandate is impossible. The CGE of 79 million rand to fill a mandate is impossible. And I absolutely agree with you that you are basically disabled by your budget. And that is unacceptable, Chairperson. I don't know how we can appeal to Treasury, the President, the Finance Minister to say, listen, why don't we cut the VIP protection services for the ministers and save 9.1 billion rand that we can use to spend on the CGE and the Human Rights Commission, etc. To expect a Chapter 9 institution with a constitutional mandate to go and fundraise, I think that is a slap in the face of what you are supposed to do. Madam Chair, I don't know what we are going to do. I don't know if we can somehow get hold of COFSA, but one thing I'd like to ask is if you've obviously submitted, received feedback from COFSA. See what is reasonable, what is not reasonable, and resubmit. And if they, in terms of 4.1.1, ignore you or unreasonably don't comply with your recommendation, invoke Section 7. Invoke it. These people must stop playing around with our Chapter 9 institutions. And I think, I don't know, the issue of funding for the National Consultative Conference, again, if it's your mandate, it has to be funded by the Treasury. This is a no-brainer. And I agree that COFSA needs to ensure that all municipalities do an audit. How many urban in the municipality is allocated for churches? How many churches exist? How many are licensed or legal, and how many are legal? And then they must close them down, those that don't comply. Another thing that you mentioned is that the religious sector is basically putting arms up and saying, how can you? But in government, in the state, we have three arms. We have legislative, the judiciary, and the administrative. That's all separate. Religion too. So is the media, but there are regulations. So are traditional healers, but there are regulations. What is the difference between religion and anything else?
Mm.
We, as Parliament, as representatives of the people, have an obligation, a duty to protect our people. Not stop you from making your own decision and live your life and have your beliefs and associate with whoever you want to. But these people must understand. And it reminds me of the traditional leaders when it comes to ensuring that women are empowered within those structures and how they are pushing a fight and saying, no, but you can't touch us. Rubbish. Please use your power. Demand your money. Demand they take you seriously and demand that they do their audits. I will come and toy toy with you. And if you need me to fight, I've got nice high heels. They're good weapons of mass destruction.
Thank you. The thing is, and I experienced about this, let's strip all the weeds, the dirt out of our country, and try and touch what we have. Try and save them from genocide, because we are now going to be better. Remember what happened in Uganda. People were called into a church and were then alive. We're going to actually shoot the streets where we're going to be happy. And we pray to the companies, say that we will, we are prepared to get rid of the scourge. Our children are our treasure. And if we don't take care of them, who else will take care of them?
Just to close, Chief.
Yeah, I need
3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief. I think we should be